Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name is Christian Warren, and with me is Sarah Wells and Megan Jade. How are you guys?
I'm so happy that we're all together again.
I know, I feel like we've been reunited.
Do you guys really feel like I am like the dad in this relationship here? Like, I feel like that's not a good role to play. Like, I just want to be another brother, you know?
No, you're the big brother then.
Okay, well, you're like the significantly older brother who, like, we definitely look up to a lot.
It was fun to be able to listen to the Spoutcast, like, just as like a casual listener with, you know, without my voice, you know, that I'm constantly critiquing, but just going, this is a show that I'm enjoying, you know, like just as a podcast that I would listen to kind of thing. You know what I mean? I was intrigued to see what would happen next, you know?
Well, here's what's funny is right before we started, Christian, Sarah and I looked at each other and we were like, I don't know the order. Like, we gotta write down the order. What do we do? I don't know. How do we enter this? We were so dependent on you. So.
Well, it came together very nicely, and I appreciate you guys filling in for me while I was gone for 2 weeks. But on today's show, because I'm excited to be back, we got a sermon discussion on Jared's sermon this past week on the lost coin and the lost sheep. Mm-hmm. We're also going to do the news with Kevin Tinkin. We'll interview someone named Megan Hildebrandt, talk a lot about Kids Connection and why you should serve in there. And then we'll close. We'll do some announcements. But before we kind of get into our sermon discussion, I just want to say, like, how was it in here? Like, did you guys enjoy it without me, or am I just a horrible boss here, or, you know?
No, I feel like you ground us because we'd be talking.
Was listening. I'm like, they don't need me.
No.
No, not at all.
I felt like, I don't know.
Our intros were like shabby.
There was the news with Kevin Tinkin, and like usually we'll go, and now the news with Kevin, and this was like, hey, Kevin Tinkin here with the news, and I was like, what?
But we didn't really know, and honestly, we were confused with the order. We didn't really know how to get things started. Honestly, we were talking for 45 minutes before we even turned on the recording, so we definitely need you.
I really felt like me and Megan, we're two like sisters trying to make dinner without any parents around, and we have no idea how to even boil water. Like, well, wait, where's the pots? Oh, where? How do you turn this on? And we're
we figured it out.
We learned our way through it.
Right. And, well, you know, we bonded over it.
I bet.
We came out stronger.
I did feel like, I feel like I missed like a good show. I felt like I missed a good time. You know, it felt like you guys were having a good time in here.
We did have a good time.
I appreciate you guys letting me go up to camp. I was able to speak up at Camp Hammer.
You helped
the show out. This show is so important to me. I would have just left all 30 junior hires to fend for themselves, and I would have just came to the show. But
it would have been 30 casualties.
It would have turned into like Lord of the Flies. Or
that's right.
Like,
yeah. But then 1 week I got to speak, and then 1 week I got to just hang out with junior hires, and I had a blast. Got to see a lot of my old friends. Just junior hires, honestly, like, they are I'm convinced they're the funniest creatures on earth.
I love junior hires.
They say the funniest things. Like, you're not going to think this is funny at all, Megan, but I'm not kidding. There's a junior hire in our junior high group that walked around camp running up and down hills going, I just farted.
They're just interesting creatures.
And, like, she literally was, like, having the time of her life.
And it was a girl.
And another great, the same girl would walk up. So she, you know, like, Harry Potter jelly beans?
Yeah, absolutely, I do.
So she would go up to somebody and, like, go, you want a jelly bean? And then the people would go, well, sure, yeah, I'll take a jelly bean. And then they eat it. And then they go,
it's like vomit or something.
Yeah, well, she'd go, what does it taste like? And they go, it kind of tastes like, I don't know, like black licorice. And she's like, wrong, canned dog food. Or like just so stoked that she tricked somebody into this. So I had a great time.
Hang out with her.
Like, what exactly is going through their brains at this age?
I don't know. I'm loving it, though. I love junior. It just,
they're figuring out who they are.
Yeah, they're figuring out what's funny to them. And we as a staff are just laughing hysterically. So they're going, this is good. I got to do this more. So she walked around the rest of the camp going, wrong, that's dog barf. Or like, wrong, that's toothpaste. Or just like, just anytime you would guess what it is. It was great. She was great. The camp was great. I had to take out two wasp's nests, and that was a little scary. Yeah, very scary, but a good time. So I appreciate you guys letting me
take off
for the week.
You know what, Christian? And while you were gone, Sarah and I made it our mission to get 100 fans before today, before you came back.
That is true. You know, we haven't talked about that yet, but yes, we are at 100 fans, ladies and gentlemen. So
Christian's shaving his head.
I emailed our 100th fan today and said, we'd love to get you on the show to talk about.
Has she written you back?
She has not written me back. I don't know her name. Something.
Sarah Jean Rhodes.
Sarah Jean Rhodes. Yes.
Yeah, she will. She'll do it.
Okay. So 100th fan is Sarah Jean Rhodes. And you know what else? Today's a big day. You know why?
Why?
It's our 21st episode. I mean, we're legal now. We can drink. We can
drive.
We can. I guess you can always drive.
At the same time.
Not this, no.
Yes.
Yeah, we could go to a casinos.
We can go to Vegas.
That's right. And it's
a
big day.
Oh my gosh, podcast goes to Vegas. Let's record in Vegas.
I want to say I had some friends who had a podcast called the Gene Shalit Power Hour, and their podcast died on their 21st episode. They stopped after that. So I'm wondering if like it's the curse of the 21. So if we make it to 22.
What do you mean they stopped?
They just stopped doing it. Just done.
Like
no
they
more.
Went to leave while the party was the most fun, or did everyone stop listening to them?
No, I mean,
week?
They had a bunch of listeners. He got married, something happened, but I'm wondering if it's the curse of the 21.
So I don't think so. I think we're maybe 25 where we can rent
Let's
a
get
car.
Past it.
I think we are.
Oh, yeah.
We had a party, a little celebration before, you know, came in. We had some pizza, some Pepsi, some cookies, some cookie crisp. Some cookie crisp. Well, hey, for our 21st episode, I decided to play a band that I have recently begun to just fall in love with. A guy who works here at The Well named Carl told me about them. Their name is Boyce Avenue, and they actually kind of started as a YouTube sensation, kind of like the Justin Biebers of the world, but these are I think they're three brothers, and they are phenomenal, and they do cover songs, basically. And so a couple of the cover songs are slightly inappropriate by the original artist, but covered sounds so beautiful.
But they also edit it, so it is they an appropriate song.
They did edit it, so it's a little more appropriate.
It's G.
Hey,
yeah.
What did you think of our music last week? Did you hate it?
You know, didn't bring that up, you know, so it's like, eh. You guys had freedom to choose whatever music you so desired.
I know. I just thought we'd go middle ground and put something on that you didn't absolutely, like, despise.
Well,
verbally.
It just wasn't, like, 90s pop punk, so, you know.
But, fair enough. I should have done Simple Plan.
We should
right,
have
you should have done Simple Plan. Yeah.
Oh, God.
We'll get Hanson. We'll do Hanson soon. But so the music for today is Boyce Avenue. Up next, we'll do a sermon discussion. And, yeah, it's good to be back.
Do you ever feel like a plastic bag drifting through the wind, wanting to start again? Do you ever feel so paper thin, like a house of cards, one blow from caving in? Do you ever feel already buried deep, 6 feet under screams where no one seems to hear a thing? Do you know that there's still a chance for you? There's a spark in you, and you just gotta ignite a light and let it shine. Just own the night.
All right, we are back here to discuss this past week's sermon, and I believe this was the last sermon in the parables truth thrown alongside series that we've been doing over the summer. Mm-hmm. I do not know what is next as far as what we're going to be teaching through the next little while.
Brad is doing a mini series.
Ah.
On what? I don't know.
Yes, me neither, but it'll be interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. And
is it weird that I do know, but I'm not going to say it because I don't
you
think
do
it's
know.
Officially announced.
Hey, come on, leak it out.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, come on. The Spoutcast
gets
to know first. Spoutcast listeners want to know first.
Yeah, Brad and I had dinner with Jen and the girls, and no, I'm just kidding. I actually just heard yesterday, though.
What is it?
I don't know if it's, is it legal that I say it?
Well, where'd you hear it?
Yeah, it was Spoutcast.
And what if it's not true?
Yeah, it's just, you know, I say things that aren't true all the time on the show.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Well, I heard that it's going to be a mini series on the 8.
No, that's after. So there's 3, and then there's what we're going to be calling the Anatomy of a Disciple.
I also heard it rumored that there's something about Corinthians.
That's after the Anatomy of the Disciple.
Oh, okay. So then
yes.
I know the later things, but not the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, so I'm in the same boat as you guys.
Is that okay that we could say what's happening, like, way later?
Yeah. No, I think so.
Okay. Christian says so. We can.
You know, we have a viral mob of followers. If God has an issue with that, he can come in here and tell us on air.
Yeah. Okay. So this past week, Jared actually talked about my favorite sermon, the parable of the lost sheep, but he also kind of tied in the parable of the lost coin as well. Mm-hmm. Two separate parables, but kind of along the same lines, you know? And so mm-hmm. Jared did a great job, I think, explaining the two of them and kind of connecting them almost the everything we've been talking about over the last, what, 6 or 7 weeks, mm-hmm. you know? And so I don't know, like, I feel like we all kind of know the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. He did make a couple detail, like, things just about sheep and shepherds and you know, coins and the significance of the coin. And it's not just like a coin that she lost in her pocket, things like that, mm-hmm. that I think for an audience to hear is really key. But we were talking off air. It's just one of those things where I feel like we're going to reiterate a lot of things we've already said here in the past. So maybe if you guys have anything new that you thought of or you came to mind as you thought about the sermons.
I actually read, there's a verse that I didn't ever really understand until yesterday. Mm-hmm. I don't think he hit on it specifically, but Jesus said, like, I don't remember at what part of, in which parable it was, but he's talking to the Pharisees and he said, like, there's more rejoicing when one sinner comes to the Lord than when a righteous man repents or right. something. And I never really read it, like, because he's talking to the Pharisees and the Pharisees repent, quote unquote, all the time. And he's saying, like, God is far more honored when this sinner comes to him than when you repent all the time, because he knows that they're doing it from an ingenuine heart, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And
that
I never
was cool.
really heard it like that before, you know?
Totally.
Like, you know, we think of people who are just so undeserving of grace, quote, you can't see my quotes, but I'm doing them, and God is more honored when they come to the Lord than when someone proudly says, I'm sorry for,
yes.
you know, blah, blah, blah.
Absolutely. Like, you know, not to bring it back to Jonah, but the Ninevites, you know, they repented, but it wasn't just that they said, okay, I'm sorry, God, we'll change our lives. No, it's like the action steps that happen beyond that. Mm-hmm. They turn from their evil ways. They stop, you know, being filled with anger or stop seeking, like, blood, that they were, like, such this, like, bloodthirsty nation, mm-hmm. nation almost. And so you're right. Like, there's a difference between repentance of just saying, I'm sorry, God, I'll change it. But more of, like, I want you to forgive me of my sins and I want my life to be changed, mm-hmm. you know, and I want to be, you know, eternally spend the rest of my life with you yeah. kind of thing. It's a difference of words.
Well,
you know?
Not even say like the first repentance that you're saying, like, hey, sorry, Lord. Like, that's not, I don't even say that's true repentance.
No,
mean, that's
not
just,
at all.
Like, because repentance is actually turning a 180 degrees
yeah.
and walking away, you know?
Right.
And so often we say, okay, Lord, I'm really sorry for this, but we're not walking away from it. We just
right.
try harder to not do it again, you know?
It totally. Yeah. I'm really sorry that I, you know, lied to my parents. I'm not going to do it again, but it'd be more the idea of like going like, God, forgive me of this. And I never want to do this again.
Yeah.
I'm going to focus solely on you and not on this anymore.
And empower me to, like, convict me before so I can not lie, so I won't get to this point again.
Totally, totally. Do you have any thoughts or anything?
We're just going over here.
Yeah.
I wanted to interject like 3 times, but I thought, no, I'm really interested in what they're saying, so I'm just going to sit here. Well, I was really trying to relate to, you know, because it's hard for us, or for me at least, to connect with the story only because I don't really know what it feels like to lose something.
Mm.
I think that's where I have like a disconnect, is the shepherd goes out for this one sheep when he's got 99 others and he goes out to find the one. And, you know, he related the story to the girl who lost her engagement mm-hmm. ring mm-hmm. in the beginning. And I was thinking through, like, how does this story connect to me? Like, I feel grateful that the Lord looks at us that way, that mm-hmm. we are his sheep, and that if one of us is astray, he goes out and finds that one. But I was thinking, like, how do I connect with that in a way? And I was just trying to think through, like, something I've lost or something that if I lost it, like, what would it, you know what I mean? What would it, and I was thinking, like, in terms of my family, you know, and in relationships that are severed or estranged or whatever, and that I would do, in a way that I've lost that person, I would do anything to mend that.
Right, but I think that, and Jared didn't say this, but I think that's the reason why there's the three parables all right next to each other, because mm-hmm. I think he's talking to such a large audience that
right.
that's why he has to do three parables, because everybody's going to connect in a different way, you know? And you may not connect with the sheep or the coin, but you might connect with one of the two sons, you know what I mean? And so,
exactly.
And so I feel the same way. I love the parable because it really shows God's love for his children, you know, but I don't I don't think you're wrong in thinking, oh, man, I didn't feel anything. You know, you know what I mean?
I was, like, searching for it. And I, like, made this reference with my family and, like, really tried to, like, figure out, like, just that feeling. Like, just to even, like, have an empathy for, like, what the Lord feels for his people, you know, when they're gone. And I just really struggled to, like, find that connection. And I think I found it a little bit. But even, I think what it showed me more so than that was that how greater is God than we are. Like, how great it is that he feels for his people.
Mm-hmm. And even
when I can't make that connection, like, that's the way the Lord feels for me.
Yeah.
And I don't have to understand that or feel that in order for it to be true.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you know, a couple quick things and we can kind of close it up here. But I just think that just the picture of this shepherd, you know, leaving the 99 and finding the one is just such a great picture of God, you know, and just how much he loves us and what a loving God he is. And I think you can see what a loving father he is in the parable of the lost son as well, you know. And I just read all three of these parables and I'm just constantly reminded, like, how much God loves us and how God knows us individually, that, like, he'll do anything to, like, to kind of show that love for us and to let us know how much he loves us. And it's just kind of one of those things where when I read these three things, I'm constantly reminded of the love of God, which is something I feel like I shouldn't need to be constantly reminded of, but it's so comforting when I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He even goes and finds us when we're the ones that wander away.
Like
we just kind of got lost and whoopsies, I landed over here. No, I willingly walked.
And Jared made the connection of, like, you know, my wife's funny. She we're big animal people, you know, and I heard the sermon and I felt the same way. And Jared, not like a malicious way at all, but was like, hey, you know, sheep, you never would want to be called hey, you're smart as a sheep or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's been lots of, like, research that sheep are not necessarily the smartest animal, but they're also not the dumbest by any means. And so he was saying they're not the brightest animal or whatever, but the one thing that a shepherd knows, and, you know, Lacey and I got a kick out of that because we're like, well, they're not stupid, you know.
They do follow each other off cliffs, though.
They do, but that's...
That means they're loyal.
They're loyal and they're smart. All right, let's go beyond that because we could argue about this. Anyways, something that he did say was, like, the sheep, they know, they may not be the brightest bunch of animals. However, they know their shepherd, you know, mm-hmm. and it's so true to us. It's like, yeah, we know God and we can read our Bibles and grow up in the church and know who God is. But yet for some weird reason, we wander away. You know, something mm-hmm. happens and I've seen it. So many times not in my own life, but in people I know's life who, like, know God. They grew up in the church. Their parents brought them to church. They know the things of God. But one day they just decided, you know, I'm out. I know my shepherd, but I'm out. You know, I'm gone. I'm going to walk away. And that was just a good thing to hear and be reminded of, like, yeah, they know who God is, yet they still choose to wander away. And you're right. It's a total choice, you know. Mm-hmm. And
I think it's really humbling, too, to even relate to a sheep, like, in that way. Like, you know, they're not the smartest. They're not maybe the brightest. And especially they're not the brightest in comparison to their shepherd who knows it all, you know, like,
so, and he knows all 100 sheep.
Exactly. Yeah. And so in comparison to our shepherd and comparison to God, like, we don't know anything. We're not the brightest. We don't know what's going to happen and all those things. And yet, like, it's humbling to go, okay, I know I might not be the brightest. I may not know what's going to happen. I have to walk by faith in this, not by sight, obviously, mm-hmm. but, like, I know the Lord. And that is something I just felt really humbled. Like, that is so cool. 'Cause I'm not the brightest. I screw up all the time. And I tend, you know what I mean? And yet, like, the shepherd will search for me even though I'm not the brightest because I am his.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Well, I think that's a good note to kind of end it on. I'm excited to see what's going to go on here at the Well the next couple of weeks before we kick off on the Anatomy of the Disciple series. But I will be interested to see what the sermon is next week, and we'll be here to discuss it on episode 22.
Yes, we will.
So up next we got the news with Kevin Tinkin, and we're excited for that. So listen to some more Boyce Avenue.
Just us to know, you told me you loved me, so why did you?
And now the news with Kevin Tinkin.
How do you know he's going to say Kevin Tinkin?
You can't introduce yourself.
I felt like you just like totally got a kick out of that. Like that was the best intro you've done.
He was like waiting like, yeah. That's what you do when you want to play that game like Jing Jing Xiaomi a Coke or whatever. Yeah. You like wait and you like say it at the same
time. Touch me, make it true.
Can't triple stamp a double stamp.
What's that from? That's from Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
Can't triple stamp a double stamp.
That's what I quote.
Yeah. Anyway, so, Kevin, man, missed you last week. Thanks for kind of filling in the little gaps here and there. It was I know the exact quote you're talking about on the Ace Ventura. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Ace Ventura's got so many quotable lines, you know. Yeah. So thank you for filling in there.
This is the second week in a row we've talked about Dumb and Dumber, too.
Yeah.
I'm like the putty of the podcast.
You're like the king of putty.
Filling in the cracks.
That's right. Gumby.
So, hey man, you got some news? Bring down the house here.
Bring it down the house.
Like the movie with Steve Martin and Queen Latifah.
I was just thinking that. Bring it down the house. That girl.
Why?
That girl.
Hey, big favorite of mine. You know, gotta love it.
Oh my gosh, it's so horrible. Right. Well, a drunk man lets his 8-year-old son drive on the highway.
A drunk man, you said?
Yeah, and this is going to be great because it just feels right. His name is Billy Joe Madden.
Billy Joe Madden reportedly let his 8-year-old son drive on his truck
because he was a little too drunk to drive.
Tom Mater, is that you?
No. that's my classic hillbilly.
So wait, the son was not Billy Joe.
No. Also in the car was Madden's 4-year-old daughter. Police say the 28-year-old was intoxicated and fell asleep while his son drove from Hattiesburg.
How does he reach the pedals?
En route towards Dallas.
So he thought that his son would be a better choice in driving than him.
Which is kind of smart.
He's a responsible adult.
Obviously.
Anybody can drive a car.
Where was he drinking with his kids? Like Red Robin or something?
Probably.
Chuck E. Cheese?
Probably just having a day out. Day with that daddy day. Come on, kids, get in the car.
He probably had a flask.
Yeah. The difference between Tom Mater and a regular just hillbilly voice is you have to go up higher in pitch.
How would you know this? Are you the one that called in as Tom Mater?
No. I'm just saying if you're going to do it.
Oh, wait. This is really funny. P.S.
Yes.
I had a conversation with a kid, I'm not kidding, a very serious conversation. It was about a 15 to 20 minute conversation about why he thought Cars 2 was the best movie. And this is an 11-year-old kid, and why I thought Cars 2 was terrible. And I was giving all my explanations. He's like, well, I think you're wrong. I think that you think that Mater is an idiot, but really he brings inspiration and hope for us young kids who grow up without adventure and without a sense of like spying and things like
Take that, Christian.
And then I was like, I think you're wrong. Like, and I was like fully arguing against this little 8-year-old kid or 11-year-old kid. And it was like the saddest. I walked away and I said, boy, you're a real terrible person, Christian.
What is wrong with you? Why can't it just
so
just
who
go with
won?
It?
He easily schooled me in that argument because it came from a kid's perspective, and he was like, "This is why I think the movie's really good, and I think you're wrong, and I think you have bad points, and I think you're just not a kid, and you don't understand, you don't have a sense of adventure like I do." And
this kid's got to be
that
a lawyer.
Kid in mock trial, my
dude.
God.
This kid was just railing
That's a
me.
Solid argument.
So
he should have just said, "You're old. You don't even know what you're talking about." That's what I would have said. I'd be like, I'm 10.
There you go.
I know what's hip in the streets.
Yeah, well.
I live it every day.
Just to go back to Tomater for a second. Can you just demonstrate the difference between the Tomater and the Hillbilly?
Oh, so just like, for me, it's just the standard. Boy, I tell you what, if you're going to be careful, you got to watch yourself. And if you go Tomater, you just get a lot higher. Hey, boy, I tell you what, you got to watch yourself.
I be careful. Dave Johnson, boy, I tell you, Dave Johnson, he's a real handsome gentleman.
And if you say it, it's lower. That Dave Johnson, he's a real handsome gentleman, I'll tell you what.
Okay, I totally see the difference.
I totally, yeah.
I almost started laughing so hard that I started clapping like old people do, you know?
My favorite thing is when, speaking of clapping, have you guys ever went to like a junior high dance or whatever? And like the people that don't know how to dance, they just do this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right, together, left.
Yeah,
together,
that's me. Right, like every together. Wedding I go to.
Yes,
no,
real
Megan,
sad.
you bust on, out Tara. Some good right. moves at weddings.
Tomater, what else you got here?
So I have to tell you this. So you guys totally. I don't know if this is going on with your generation, old people.
Aren't we the same generation?
No, I'm 30.
I'm 25.
Well, here's the deal. When I was 25, when the well
first started back in the day, we read from papyrus reeds.
No one's gonna listen to this episode because we're just gonna laugh the entire time.
No, but okay, so everybody was getting married all the time,
like, and my life, like, right now.
Okay, so you guys are going through that's what, oh, that's, okay, so, that,
so,
that's what,
so
I'm,
you're
saying,
right. The, okay, so he's, so,
okay,
right,
our,
so
generation, right, of marriages,
yes,
if you will.
So, but like, so it was literally like free party every weekend. Like,
that's how we all feel.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But sometimes you start getting bummed out, or you're like, gosh, I'm going to another wedding or whatever.
Or you spend so much money on wedding presents, you can't even fill up your gas
tank. That's when you just stop buying them. Just like, I'm here for your support.
I can be honest, I think I've gone to so many weddings. I think at a certain point, when there's, let's say, 300 people at a wedding or 200 people at a wedding, no one's going to really know that you didn't bring a gift.
That's,
you know,
what I'm banking on.
Or just write them a really nice card, or make them something.
And
just,
I truthfully think a really nice card is plenty.
But anyway, to back to my point, I fell even more deeply in love with my wife because she knows the entire dance to Thriller.
Oh, like, my gosh.
Yeah, like, she knows the whole thing. So every wedding, it would be like, oh, get Jenny out there. She's going to do the dance. And it would be like,
Have you ever seen that thing, the Filipino prison with all the guys doing the Thriller dance?
Yes.
So incredible.
Okay, wait. When will Jenny give us lessons? Will she teach us how to dance? I mean,
anytime.
That song doesn't really play at weddings anymore, but we could request it.
Yeah.
And
you
then
tell
do this
them.
Dance. Maybe we'll find a husband.
I know this song to TikTok from the dance to... video game from Wii.
Hence,
I know that
generational dance.
Yeah. Yes. And so when it comes on at weddings, I can pull it out. Yeah.
I know how to dance.
I'm still not married.
I know how to dance to Lou Bega Mambo Number 5.
Yeah, but she also does this. She also, like, puts her hands like this because she's holding the Wii remote control. So it kind of looks funny when she's like this and she's holding like a Wii remote at a wedding. It's like, what are you doing, Sarah?
Wow.
Why
looking
do you bring
awesome.
That thing in
your All right, let's get to some more news here. What else you got for us, Kevin?
That's not news enough.
No, it's news.
Also request MC Breed. But that's another thing.
MC what?
MC Breed. Ask Brad. He knows.
Okay.
Man walks after 21 hours in a morgue fridge. I'm sorry. Man wakes. After
I heard about this.
Yeah. In Johannesburg, Africa. This
Johannesburg.
Man, Johannesburg.
The same place where District 9 is going on. Huh. Taking place right now.
Really? They're filming right now?
From Johannesburg, South Africa.
Right. Very nice.
Thank you. It's the only thing I know how to say, the South African accent.
I like that. That's almost Kiwi-esque. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this guy was in the morgue.
A South African man awoke to find himself in a morgue fridge nearly a day after his family thought he had died. A health official say, the health department spokesperson said that the man awoke Sunday afternoon, 21 hours after his family called in an undertaker who sent him to the morgue after an
like
asthma
the
attack.
Undertaker or a undertaker?
No, it was an undertaker. They don't. You know, it's like,
wait,
walks in with.
Did
dry
they not
eyes.
Notice the beating heart?
Yeah, was his pulse gone? I mean, what's the details of this?
He looks a little dead. Let's put him in the fridge.
Hold on, wait. Let's think about this from a medical perspective.
Okay, here it is. Here it is. When he got there, the driver examined the body. I think that's an interesting point. The driver examined the body.
Not
checked
the medical.
The pulse. Yeah, he checked the pulse, looked for a heartbeat, but there was nothing.
And his maybe name was, with an asthma attack, maybe his heart stopped for a second or something.
Could,
right
could
after
have been.
For the 1 second that
yeah,
he looked for.
Could
it.
Have been.
Yeah, they heard screaming from the fridges, and literally they didn't like run to get him out. They ran away because they were scared.
That's terrifying.
Cool. Yeah, you, like, I mean, I guess you can't technically push yourself out of
it's
there.
It's a stiff. Name
anytime,
that movie? Goonies.
Anytime I think of like a morgue, do you guys ever think of like Men in Black?
You quoted Goonies. I love it. It's good movies coming in right now.
Do you ever think
Christian
of Men
just overlooked it? That movie stinks too.
Okay. Do you ever think of that scene in Men in Black where, like, they're in the morgue?
When the alien comes out of his belly?
No, his brain. And he dies and he goes, duh. Oh, shoot. What does he say? If something is on Orion's belt. He goes, like, the galaxy is on Orion's. And then, and then he dies. Yeah. You guys remember the scene?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, man, it's the best scene in the whole movie. No? All right.
That's it. That's why you brought that up, to say it was the best.
What else? Like, what else happens in that scene that relates to the story?
I was waiting for like that's a metaphor for your
and
relationship.
Then
with
and then
your
the guy
own.
Comes out of the refrigerator or something or somehow.
Yeah,
relates.
I love Men in Black.
There's another movie.
Right. At least my Goonies quote was relevant.
Hey
when
guys,
a dead person
I'm sorry.
In a fridge.
You could be a farmer in those clothes. How does that relate?
Did you
Let's
ever
do that quote?
Do you guys ever see old Chris Farley stuff on Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
Do you remember the time when you were in arachnophobia? That was awesome.
No.
that's what you just did. You just did the Chris Farley show. Do you remember when in Men in Black when the alien says that the galaxy's on Ryan's belt?
We didn't say belt.
That was awesome.
And that's the end. That's the best.
I'm so stupid. All right, what else you got for us?
Very good. Angry birds attack Ottawa runners.
Like the app on
like
the iPhone?
The game?
No, it's literally the first line of the story is, no, 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 not the iPhone app.
Oh, gosh. That's hilarious.
That's quality journalism right there.
Yeah, they knew what you're... They literally knew that you girls were going to be like, is that the iPhone app?
That's
it's attacking birds.
I've ever heard one, you know?
That's a great app. It can attack people in real life. Runners taking their daily trip down the canal are having terrifying run-ins with protective red-wing blackbirds or red-wing blackbirds.
So like crows or
it's weird.
That doesn't seem correct. Red-winged blackbirds.
They have red wings, but they're blackbirds.
I don't know.
You know, I heard a story that this
is this relevant?
This is totally relevant to this. I did hear a story that like crows have this weird like sense of memory and the military is like testing out crows where they have like facial recognition. I think I've talked about this. I'm not joking. And like these guys in college like beat a crow to death, okay? Because it was like attacking their house or whatever. They beat this crow to death. And then the crows, the other crows in the family saw these guys' faces and anytime they left their building, these crows attacked these two men. Anytime they left the building. This is a true story. Look it up.
You guys,
I promise.
Did you guys ever see the birds?
I did see the birds. Alfred.
I'm done.
You remember that? You remember the time
Alfred
when
Hitchcock.
The birds.
Alfred Hitchcock. Those
they attacked that lady.
Out.
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
I'm done. I'm done. I'm just going to stop stepping on your points.
Hey, Kevin, you know what my favorite part of you reading news stories are?
What?
Is when you don't know what a word is. You just like quickly do this, blah, 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 and then you move on like remember the whole story.
Nobody wants me to.
Nobody wants
to hear me try to sound out a Rwandanese name.
It's become so normal that it's almost like yeah, that word was in there.
Scalaway, hell,
hell, hey, I was totally in there.
Yeah, exactly.
I want Kevin to officiate my wedding.
Hey, I'm there. I am so there. I will go through the classes and everything.
Okay,
it's like a 5-minute online form.
I'll be honest though. I might be a little bit late, and then like just like with perfect.
You see
comic,
this ring?
Perfect comic timing. I would walk out of the bathroom with like toilet paper stuck to my shoe. You're like, sorry, I'm late. Got held up, and you'll be like, no potty humor at my wedding. That was the one condition.
Did she turn into an old man?
Speaking of the, remember what Kevin's thing was. If you're going to impersonate somebody, you have to make the most absurd voice.
Yeah, my name's Christian. I make random movie references. That's how you do it.
Even though it's nothing like Christian, but we're going with it because you're.
You try.
I'm Kevin. I have an orange shirt with large skyscrapers on it.
Yeah. There's a comedian who does like impressions. Yeah. And
I'm Sarah. I wear see-through dresses.
Whoa!
Oh wait, that's only a reference because the bottom of Sarah's dress is a little bit sheer. And earlier I told. And earlier I told her, hey, Sarah, your dress is see-through at the bottom. But it's...
If this was true, this podcast would have a completely different element.
I am so sorry, Sarah. Gosh, you need to get new friends because, man, they are embarrassing you.
My bright red right now.
Oh, that's a good note to end on, man.
Yeah, okay, so let's pause for a second.
Just for the record, I am not wearing a see-through dress. The bottom is a little sheer.
That's what I meant.
And I was unaware of it.
I would have mentioned something earlier.
All right, let's wrap it up. What were you going to say?
Just do a quick pause. And now end it.
What?
So we can cut this out. You're probably going to cut this one out.
No, I'm going to leave that in.
Leave it in?
Yeah.
See-through dress.
Right.
All right. Up next is we're going to interview Megan Hildebrandt and talk a little bit about Kids Connection. Kevin, thanks for being here. Oh. And sorry I stepped on your points, man. I'm going to just keep my mouth shut from here.
Don't you dare. All right. I love it. I feel good.
All right. Thanks, Kevin.
That was awesome.
You're pretty without any makeup on. I think you're funny when you tell the punchline wrong. I knew you got me when you let your walls come down, down. Before you met me, I was alright, but things were kinda heavy. You brought me to life. Now every February, you'll be my Valentine. Let's just talk All through the night, there's no need to rush. We can dance until we die. You and I will be young forever. You make me feel like I'm living a teenage.
All right, we are back, and we are here with someone by the name of Megan Hildebrandt, who many of you, if you listened and came to church this past Sunday, may recognize from the North Campus, was up on the stage at midweek, correct?
Midweek 9 and 11 on
midweek
7.
9 and 11, and you kind of showed up, you were on stage, and you talked about Kids Connection and why you worked there and why you think other people should work in Kids Connection. And we're here to talk to you about that today. Is that okay?
Great, yeah.
Hi, Megan.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Megan.
Hi, Megan.
Now, before we get started, we typically ask all of our guests that come on the show if they've ever listened to the Spoutcast. So we'll ask you that today. Have you ever listened to the Spoutcast?
Yes. Yes, I have.
And are you a fan of the Spoutcast, or you're like, eh, it's all right?
No, I love the Spoutcast.
What happens if she was like,
no, it's all right. No, I do love it.
Okay.
And like Megan brought up earlier, I don't have a Facebook, but if I did, I would definitely like it or be a
you
follower.
You would be
whatever
our
Facebook is.
101.
First. You know, I would rather you be just a listener and not a fan on Facebook,
okay,
because I think that's more important. But now that you're on the show, great, you'll at least have to listen to this show.
Absolutely.
And you know, Christian, just so you know, Sarah and I really like Megan. We're friends with Megan.
Yeah, I mean, so I really like Megan.
Awesome. Megan has been in my life group for the past year.
I really like Megan because she came on the show with very late notice, so thank you.
I'm really glad you're here.
Yeah, so Megan, I did bring you specifically because I know that in the past couple of weeks, the Well's actually been making a big push for people to get involved in Kids Connection.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not seeing a push for junior high or anything, but like, that's, you know, I'm neither here nor there. It's like, whatever, so, you know, it's no big deal. Let's move on, okay?
SMH.
But I know that it's been a big push, and I heard it this Sunday, and then I've seen it on the website. And so, kind of for starters, tell us what's your kind of role in Kids Connection right now, and then why do you think people should be involved in Kids Connection?
Okay, well, as I mentioned on Sunday, I've been serving for 3.5, almost 4 years now,
right,
and predominantly in preschool, but a little bit of everything. And lately, it's been PR stuff like this. No,
yeah.
That's not an official role, but
it's needed stuff. So,
yeah, definitely. So I just help out a little bit with everything. Water Wars, the preschool does the parade,
like the movie
every year.
Water World. I mean, no, that's sorry. I'm an idiot. Keep going.
No. Yeah, not like that.
No.
Mm-hmm. All right, sorry.
And so that's kind of my role, is I just kind of help out wherever. But that was a process. When I first started, I began as an aide. And there's kind of two positions in each classroom. There's a head teacher and there's an aide.
Right.
And the head teacher is the one that looks over the curriculum online. Everything's preset. Your craft's preset,
right,
your activities, your timeline, everything's preset. So the head teacher is the one that goes over that, is familiar with the story, plans the crafts, and all of the craft supplies are in our awesome supply closet. So there's really little work.
Which has a lot
involved
of stickers in it.
We have a huge sticker tower.
So if you're like stickers, you should be involved in Kids
Connection. Absolutely. There you go. Right there.
Yeah, there you go.
So that's the head teacher. The aide is just kind of an assistant. They are second set of hands to the head teacher as far as, you know, preparing snack or keeping this group occupied while we're doing something else, things like that. So that's how I started, moved up to head teacher pretty quickly. I didn't know that the teacher I was working with was actually in transition of leaving. She had been there for several years as well. So
gotcha.
Quick transition. And then that just got pushed to kind of a go-to whenever we need people.
Nice. And you've enjoyed it over the last couple of years.
I love it. That's why I'm still here. I absolutely love it.
What's your favorite grade to teach?
Oh, see, I'm biased. I'm absolutely passionate about preschool. I was a preschool teacher prior to being a part of Kids Connection. So, and the 0 to 5, the birth to 5 is my absolute favorite age group. So that's where my heart is.
So why would, I think we all know somebody that is at least involved in Kids Connection in this room. Like why, but for those who are kind of unfamiliar with Kids Connection or whatever, why would someone want to be involved with Kids Connection, and what for them, even for somebody maybe new to the Well or whatever, like, is there a relational aspect that they're getting, or is it just like you're just hanging out with kids and, you know, I don't know. Like, tell us, why would somebody want to serve?
Well, like I mentioned on Sunday, it's huge, the relationships that are built, not only with each individual child, because people, especially the dedicated lead teachers who come every week, they really do build relationships with the children. And the families that come in are just amazing. Well, you guys know you're all families of the well. So awesome, awesome people. And then your team that you serve with, because you have a huddle before you go in to serve, and then you start.
Like your 9 a.m. team, your 11 a.m.
Exactly.
team.
Exactly. Yeah. The people that you're serving with week in and week out. And as far as relationships go, I guess we took that seriously. I met my roommate, Kelly. I actually met her because she is the 5
Wait,
p.m.
Kelly?
Coordinator.
Kelly Moore.
Kelly Moore.
Nice.
Yes. Yeah. She's my roommate. And
there you go.
Chelsea McAlpine also. But they, anyway, that was the connection to Kelly, was through Kids Connection. So there's relationship there. No, that's huge. It's a huge part of it. It extends far beyond the walls of the church. You know, we all are very, well, we try to be diligent about meeting for coffee and going out to dinner and getting to know each other.
Great.
So you have a whole new group to be affiliated with. So if you're new, absolutely recommend jumping right in. And
yeah, you get to know families too.
And it's not
you
like
get to know the families with the kids.
Right.
That
it's not like when you're new, they're going to go. And I think the great thing about Kids Connection is when you're new and you're like, well, man, I'm just like, I just want to serve somewhere. I think I work well with kids. And then, you know, imagine if someone's like, well, you have to come up with a curriculum for the next 8 weeks. It's like, no, the curriculum's already there.
Yeah, everything.
And you don't even have to be the lead teacher. You just help with little things, like just get involved and serve. And, you know, eventually, like you set up maybe a couple weeks later, once the head teacher goes, hey, I think you'd be good, then you move on up. But I don't think you start with the role of like, let's go through the book of you know, Genesis.
No. And what I really like about The Well is that you really are fully supported in any ministry team that you're in. And I know that Emily heads up, Emily Shaver heads up some of Kids Connection. And I know I've had multiple conversations with her about her meeting with her staff and talking to them and seeing if there's anything they need. And if someone needs a break, she's very aware of people getting burnt out. And they're very careful about the way that they treat their staff. And I think that's really cool. Because a lot of times people on ministry staffs can just get be used so much that they're just done over it.
And that's huge. For the first time in 3.5 years, this is the first time I've ever taken the summer off. And I'm glad that I did. And not because I needed to get away from it, but just because now when I come back in the fall, it's going to be a huge,
you're refreshed.
Yeah, I'm super excited. And it's not really a break. I help out in the nursery, but that is a break for me because it's babies, not teaching.
You hold babies.
I know. You hang out with crying babies.
Crying
no, not all of them cry.
Well, if you want to be involved in Kids Connection, the best place to probably go is thewellcommunity.org and kind of go online and fill out an application, right?
Yes. And all the information should be on there as far as like age groups and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I believe it's right on the front page. Just you click like, hey, I want to get involved. And I think that if you're looking for an opportunity to serve here at The Well, Kids Connection is a great place to serve. And I've said this before with even the junior high group. You don't have to necessarily like, you know, think that, oh, you're the greatest working with junior hires, you know, or like, oh, I don't work that well with junior hires or kids. It's like, you know what? I think there's other roles besides just like working with the kids or even working with the junior hires. I think that like we had water wars the other day, you know, and people could have just came and helped set up. There's things like that. And so I think there's more opportunities just besides working in a classroom in Kids Connection. So go to thewellcommunity.org and sign up. Now, Megan, we do something here called the One and Why.
Okay.
And, you know, Megan and Sarah set us up with just a perfect transition between Kids Connection and the item that you bring to a barbecue. Because that ties
in. Okay, because there's lots of barbecues over the summer.
And a lot of families have block parties. And there's always kids swimming and going to barbecues.
Kids on a barbecue. I can
and
see
we
it.
Had no idea what we were doing this week because you would not contact us.
Perfect setup, right?
Yeah, you didn't tell us what you wanted to talk about, Dad.
Well,
it was our show.
I do apologize. I do apologize.
What'd you love, apologize for what?
For not telling you guys.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought you were apologizing to Megan for our horrible choice for One and Why.
So let's start with our One and Why. I'll just start off, okay? Barbecues are not my favorite, okay?
And
barbecues are our favorite.
Yeah.
So
we should have said favorite Fast and the Furious movie or something like that.
favorite vegetarian dish.
Yep.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I am a vegetarian, so barbecues are not typically my jam. We'll put it that way. However,
barbecues are my jam.
However, I'm a big fan of something that would be at a barbecue.
Okay,
would be macaroni salad, right?
Yeah, that's really good. Good choice.
So I enjoy macaroni salad. However, I'm not the biggest fan of olives, so it'd have to be macaroni salad without olives.
You can put all the olives on my plate.
Okay, well, I'll do that. And the reason why I like macaroni salad is because as a kid, I loved macaroni and cheese, but my parents were like, it was this weird thing where like macaroni and cheese was unhealthy, but macaroni salad was healthy. And
with
I'm like,
tons of mayonnaise.
With like so much mayonnaise. And
yeah,
so
that makes sense.
I felt like, well, I'll just trick them and just instead of, they won't give me macaroni and cheese, I'll go, I want macaroni salad for dinner. And they go,
it's
okay.
It's the salad word.
Because yes, it's got salad in it. Yeah.
Exactly. So I do enjoy macaroni salad. So yeah, but Megan, why don't you share your one and why?
Okay, but when Sarah told you that she wanted you to put all the olives on her plate, I just imagined her as like a 12-year-old, maybe even an 18-year-old, running around with olive fingers. You know, like
oh,
this,
I did that every Thanksgiving.
I could probably still.
I imagine her with olive fingers running around, going, "I just farted."
Yeah, she totally was that kid. Absolutely,
that's a joke. We
I can
said
neither
earlier in the show,
confirm
so.
Nor deny.
Yeah.
That,
so Megan, what's your one and why?
Last week. Okay, so my favorite dish at a barbecue, and at, you guys, I like salivate when I think about this, okay? A cheeseburger. There is nothing, I'm so sorry, Christian, but there is nothing better. I crave them daily, maybe weekly. I crave cheeseburgers. I
like
love them, but there has to be cheese on it. Yeah, like barbecued on the grill.
Not like Fat Jack's cheeseburgers.
No, nothing. I don't really like fast food cheeseburgers, okay. But on a barbecue, I love a grilled cheeseburger, but it's got to have cheese on it. Like, it has to have cheese.
With if avocado. There's no.
A specific kind of cheese?
No, I mean white cheese generally I like. Okay. But I'm cheddar cheese is fine too. I just really don't I don't love hamburgers without cheese on them. So that I get
well,
so excited.
Well, hamburgers typically don't have cheese on.
Well, right, but I don't like just the patty. I want
right,
there to be
you want
cheese on
cheese.
It. Yeah.
When I eat veggie burgers, I can't stand it without cheese. So I'm in complete agreement. It has to have the cheese on it.
I literally will go to a barbecue if I know there's cheeseburgers there.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why I'll go.
I went to a wedding one time where they served burgers and hot dogs, and I was like,
that is brilliant.
Yeah.
That's great. And so inexpensive.
Yeah.
Right.
Totally. Yeah. Megan, why don't you give us your one and why here?
More along the lines of your macaroni salad. I was thinking macaroni salad or potato salad because it makes me think we barbecue like mad. I have a huge family. We're raised up in the foothills, and so summertime was always about being outside in the yard and tons of stuff. So the funny thing about your olive story, my mom and my dad have very different tastes when it comes to their macaroni and potato salad. My dad does not like black olives, but he does like sweet pickles. My mom likes dill pickles and olives, so they have two separate types. Literally, my mom has to make two of everything because they have very different tastes. So it would be the
I would salad. Like your dad. He sounds like a classy guy.
Yeah, no olives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With sweet
He's
pickles.
Bland. And sweet pickles, yeah.
Well, there
His
you go.
His is more bland than my mom's.
So when you do potato salad, have you ever had deviled egg potato salad?
I've had deviled eggs.
Okay, you've had deviled eggs.
Yeah. Yeah,
try deviled
Sarah's
egg
favorite.
Potato salad. It's very good.
Okay.
So just thought.
Sarah's mom makes it bomb potato salad, and she makes it with deviled eggs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay. You know, just a thought.
Yeah,
you know,
no, I'll
just try and branch out a little
out
bit.
Yeah.
Sarah, hook us up with your one and why here.
Well, tell
us how it connects to Kids Connection.
I've already explained it. Listen, I know ours isn't good enough.
I was just kidding.
You ever heard of a tire swing? That's at a barbecue, and kids swing on tire swings.
Oh yeah.
There you go.
All right. Off pools, of trees and pools and lakes.
Pools, noodles.
It's like endless connections.
Water noodles.
Okay. That's right.
Anyways, okay, my favorite is, well, it's a given. My mother's potato salad is everyone's favorite, but the broccoli salad with
bacon
in
yes!
it.
I love that.
That's all I'll eat. Like, I'll just get a whole plate.
Have you had the broccoli salad with bacon in it from Whole Foods?
No.
I promise you, I will pay you the money that it costs you to buy it. It is the best thing you'll ever have.
Let's
shake
on
it right now.
No, it's really.
Okay, I will buy it myself, but great. You just bought me dinner.
Wow,
you can shake my hand
there,
and give me money while you're at it.
She's my knees, man. Broke my hand there, Sarah. Whoa.
I'm really adamant about this broccoli salad.
Yeah. So,
I did kickboxing.
We also got an email from a loyal listener about what their one and why is, and why don't you read it?
Gosh, I love when I get to read his emails. Hey guys, great podcast last week. A bit bantery, but enjoyable. Smiley face with a D.
Now he's starting to give.
He's got a really glad face. Right. The D, you know.
He's starting to give criticisms.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Favorite dish at a barbecue. I'm a big fan of red meat, so that is always my favorite part. The best though is when you earned it, as in you hunt it. That is why I really enjoy the wild boar and venison sausage that my dad and I have made up every year. Megan, it was awesome to meet you, although only briefly. I hope we run into each other again. See ya.
Wes Crockett.
Oh, that's Wes Crockett. Sorry, yeah. I just assume that everyone knows. It's Wes.
Yeah, you know, it Could have
if
been
I'm a, reading it, it's Wes. Yeah, you know?
I give you the Wes Crockett emails. We didn't get a lot of emails this week, and I do not know why. I think it was just, you know, maybe you guys did the episode.
And here's what I wonder.
Kidding.
What I wonder.
Yes.
Great podcast last week. A bit bantery. When are we not bantery? And no, is that even a word, Wes?
Can I explain a little bit? Yeah. I think what was happening is like you guys, the four of you, especially in the interview, you guys all know each other, you know, and so you were just bantering back and forth with each other and not progressing through the interview.
Wah, wah, wah.
I thought it was great. I loved it.
Whatever, Wes.
Megan liked it.
I did like it.
Golly. Yeah.
Bantery right. Schmantery. It's
so,
not even a word.
Yeah. Our next week's one and why is what is your favorite superhero and why? And
is that with the whole Avengers thing? Is that
no, well, sort of a little bit. I mean, there's been a lot of superhero
it's
movies.
It's top secret, though.
But we're going to have an interview it's next week with someone secret. Who loves superheroes.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, so it'll be good.
But we're not telling who it is because it's top secret.
Correct.
Well, he is Captain America.
Yeah,
I hope so. I'm going to marry him.
So thanks for being here. We will do a drawing. We will do a drawing next week out of our Fast Five hat because we haven't done that in a while. We'll give away a $10 gift card. And PS t-shirts are still on the way. So
cannot
so
wait.
Keep crossing your fingers there. Megan, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Once again, sign up for Kids Connection at thewellcommunity.org. Yes. And if you have any questions, if you find Megan at church or you know Mary Van Allsburg, you can ask her questions or even anybody at the 9/11 5 services at all campuses in the 5 o'clock at North.
Yeah,
so,
really, there's lots of places you can find information,
right.
So you can't use that as an excuse.
Right.
Exactly.
All right, Megan, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
All right, up next, we'll just close out with some announcements, and yeah.
Her eyes make the stars look like they're not shining. Her hair falls perfectly without her trying. She's so beautiful, and I tell her every day. Yeah, I know, when I compliment her, she won't believe me. It's so sad to think that she don't see what I see. But every time she asks me, do I look okay, I say. When I see your face, it's not a thing.
All right, we are back, and we're going to close out the show here. Next week's One and Why is your favorite superhero and why, and you'll know why. We'll talk about that next week, so it'll be a lot of fun with that, but don't give any spoilers away here, guys.
What
but
I say?
I know. So
Kevin Jenkins, my favorite superhero.
That's right. So a couple weeks ago, we did have the One and Why of, or last week, actually, the One and Why was what's your favorite movie quote and why, and so Andrew Blue, I want to apologize. We did get your voicemail, however. I was up at camp and was unable to get the voicemail on the show. So he did quote Star Wars, great film. My favorite movie quote, it's actually inappropriate. So my other favorite movie quote is this movie quote from the movie Hot Rod, where he pulls up with a brown paper bag and he goes, "I have a bag of fireworks. Would you like to light them off?" And I don't know why. Such a good quote, but
it's a very quotable movie.
Yeah, my other one's from Independence Day. If you've ever seen the movie, it's fantastic. But the very last scene where the guy's flying up into the alien spaceship, and it's just a great quote. So anyways, to kind of close out the show here, make sure you guys send in your emails of the your favorite superhero, your one and why.
Where are they going to send them?
Oh, they're going to send it to the spoutpodcast@gmail.com.
Okay.
And where are they going to go on Facebook?
I don't know.
The Spoutcast.
Facebook.com/spoutcast or twitter.com/thespoutcast. And you know who's on Twitter now? Sarah Roby. And she's a guest of the show and a fan of the show. So
she now is tweeting.
Yeah, so if you are on Twitter, like I believe not all of us are on Twitter. Are you on maybe we're not friends. Well, we're all on Twitter.
I tweet.
You
tweet
and your
tweet.
Cat tweets too.
My cat does tweet from time to time. But he's vulgar.
So add us on Twitter, and also you can call us at 559-321-SPOUT. But sorry, Andrew, once again, but we will try and play your voicemails on the show. Like, you know, Mater's called before. We're big time when people from Cars call us. And if you're looking for 1176 East Eddy, you know, it's wrong number, all right, dude? I don't know the house that you're looking for.
But he's still looking for it.
He's still
probably looking, still looking
he's
for
like,
it.
He has a pizza like on his, it is like he's got a bucket seat like an old
for
Mighty
weeks,
Mac.
And if he doesn't deliver it, he like gets fired.
I'm still looking for this house here.
Hey, as well as kind of going to thewellcommunity.org and maybe thinking about volunteering in Kids Connection or whatnot. There are a couple other like announcements going on. I know that we've interviewed Dave Johnson before and Wes Crockett before, who've both been a part of our academy or residency programs. You two are a part of our residency programs. Kevin, did you do residency a long time ago?
I did not.
You did not. Me neither. But I know that they are taking applications right now. It's going to start here very soon, actually. August 15th is the deadline for your application. So get those in right now. Also, the Well Counseling Center is doing a support group. So if you're interested in that, it's at the Fig Garden campus. The support group is for adult women struggling with eating disorders that like that would like to work towards recovery. And my wife actually showed me this on the website, and I thought, man, I love the Counseling Center. I love what it's doing, and I'd like to at least promote it on here.
Yep.
I don't know how it would work, but I'd love to get like someone from the Counseling Center on here. I don't know if that's even legal.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah. That'd be fun, just to talk about why it's important. So,
maybe Wendy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we could totally get Wendy. So if you're interested, go to thewellcommunity.org.
If you want, I mean, I can talk about my problems on air if that's what you need. Is that
no, I'd love it. I'd love it.
Is this problem?
Ready, go.
I took a counseling class one time. Why don't you tell me?
Hey, yeah. You remember that? You remember
my
that time?
When you,
no, I don't remember.
Let's talk about dream analysis.
Right. Okay. This is totally random, and then we'll close out the show. But you know... like Chris Farley is one of my all-time favorite comedians. He has this video on YouTube, and if you're listening, you need to look this up. But it just type in Chris Farley Duke commercial, and it's Chris Farley pretending to be Christian Laettner, like an old like skinny basketball player, and it's him like playing basketball in this like way too small Duke University shirt, and the video is hilarious. And it was a promotion for the Final Four years ago, but seriously, look it up, Kevin. You will love it. It's fantastic. So hey, you guys got anything else you want to say to close out the show?
Do we not have any emails this week?
We did, but we already read those, remember?
Yep.
Megan was
you
sleeping.
Guys always blow it as far as the order of the show. So
I know that's why we need you here, Christian.
All right. Well, I'm here and you still blow it. So.
Well, that's why we need you here.
I just want to say you guys are my friends.
And you're my friend. So let's be friends.
And I'm glad that we get to talk in a circle
together.
All right. This
and
is
share
the spout.
Cookies and pizza.
That's right. Yeah, pizza is awesome.
Happy 21st, everybody. Pizza. Happy 100 fans. This is the spout. We are out.
Hold me like the River Jordan, and I will then say to thee, you are my friend. Carry me like you are my brother, love me like a mother, will you be there? You scold me when lost, will you find me? But they told me a man should be faithful and walk when not able and fight till the end, but I'm only human.